everyone's doing it different, so it's hard to. Yeah, exactly. I have to do a countdown.
Are you complaining?
No, I'm not complaining. I'm just saying it's a little bit more challenging because people like to greet, which is a good thing. Amen? Because we are family. Okay.
Ask how many people know that song.
How many people know that song? Look at all the hands go up. See? That's awesome. Okay. So, it's kind of neat that we are ending our discipleship series on a day that we dedicated Audrey to the Lord. And it's kind of neat because the title of today's sermon is Childlike Faith. I adore that picture. That's what I want for our children here at Gateway. Amen? Amen. Little boys and little girls who have their heads, their faces planted in prayer, in worship, their hearts fine-tuned to God. Amen? Yeah, that's good. So when you're a kid, you look forward to growing up. And then after you grow up, you wish you were a kid again. Isn't it funny how that works? Can anybody else attest to that? Yeah, I can remember those days. When you're a child, you can hardly wait until you're old enough to hang out with the big kids and do the things that they do. And then as you get older, I wouldn't really be privy to this kind of feeling, but as you get older, you find yourself looking back wistfully at those days of childhood, you know, like the good old days. Well, some of us do. Jesus, however, tells us that we are to have the faith of a child. We are to have the faith of a child. So how does that work? How can you grow up and yet still maintain a childlike faith? Well, I hope for the remainder of this message, I'll be able to help you a little bit with that question. Jesus loved kids during his time on earth. And you know what? He still loves kids. Some people get irritated when children are being children and they start making a lot of noise. You know the old adage, children should be seen and not heard? Well, Jesus got irritated when people tried to keep the kids away from him. Do you remember how the parents wanted to bring the little ones to Jesus so he could bless them? And the disciples shooed the children away saying, don't bother him right now. And that's when Jesus made his famous statement, let the little children come to me and do not hinder them, for the kingdom of heaven belongs to such as these. Jesus always had time for kids. Remember last week when I talked about the feeding of the 5,000? Whose provision did he use? A child's. And when he went to the bedside of Jairus' daughter, he said to her, child, arise. And he called her back from the dead. In Matthew 18, verses 1 to 6, we have it up here. He used a child as an example of what faith ought to look like. About that time, the disciples came to Jesus and asked, who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? What did Jesus do? He called a little child to him, and he put the child among them. Then he said, I tell you the truth, unless you turn from your sins and become like little children, you will never get into the kingdom of heaven. Youch. Let me read that one again. He said, I tell you the truth, unless you turn from your sins and become like little children, you will never get into the kingdom of heaven. So anyone who becomes as humble as this little child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. And anyone who welcomes a little child like this on my behalf is welcoming me. But if you cause one of these little ones who trusts in me to fall into sin, it would be better for you to have a large millstone tied around your neck and be drowned in the depths of the sea. Now, I'm going to backtrack a little bit before I continue on with this portion, but in Matthew chapter 17, verses 22 to 23, Jesus had just revealed to his disciples that he was soon going to be betrayed, tortured, crucified, and that he would rise from the dead on the third day. Yet even though the disciples had heard those sobering words and had a chance to think about them and to ponder them for a little while, they fell back into their old argument of who's going to be top dog in the new kingdom. Now, I don't know about you, but that strikes me as a little bit insensitive. Jesus tells them he's soon going to have to die, and they start arguing about who the number one disciple is going to be. That would be like telling your friend, I just came back from the doctor's office and found out I have a month to live. And your friend replies, seriously? Can I have your car? Virtually, that's what the disciples were saying. Jesus, however, bypassed their insensitive question and did something completely unexpected. Seeing a small child nearby, he called the little one over to himself and he put the child in their midst. Can't you just see it? There was that little one staring around wide-eyed at all of these big guys, these big grown-ups with beards. And I imagine that Jesus gave the little child a hug and then said these words, I tell you the truth, unless you turn from your sins and become like little children, you will never get into the kingdom of heaven. So anyone who becomes as humble as this little child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. So he answered their question with a little bit of a rebuke. Jesus was saying, you need to be childlike. But what does that mean exactly? Children, especially when they're small, have a sense of awe and wonder. And we've got many parents in the church who have younger children and babies. And it is an absolute treat to watch them grow and mature. It's fun to be around a child when they taste ice cream for the first time, or the first time they get to play in the snow, or the first time they get to dip their little toes in the sand and wade into the water. It gives you the opportunity to rediscover the wonder in some really wonderful things that you've possibly taken for granted for years. That's why it's great to be around kids. And I think that's part of what Jesus was communicating here when he said that we should become like little children. He's not saying we should be childish. He's saying we should be childlike. There is a big difference between the two. Being childlike doesn't mean that we're to be immature. The fact of the matter is we need to grow up spiritually. Because in Ephesians 4 and 14, we're told, then we will no longer be immature like children. We won't be tossed and blown about by every wind of new teaching. We'll not be influenced when people try to trick us with lies so clever they sound like the truth. So we have to grow up. And yet at the same time, we still want to be childlike. How does that work? In verse 4, Jesus said, whoever humbles himself as this little child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. You know, a little child knows that they need help. They know that you need to pick them up when they get tired of walking on those little legs. They know that you will be the one who takes them out of the car seat and that you will be the one that puts them back into the car seat. They know that you need to change their diaper and cut up their food and help them get into their clothes or comfort them when they're scared in the middle of the night. Children depend on you. They understand that and they are fine with it. So Jesus was saying, just as a little child is happily dependent on his or her parent, so you should be dependent on me. Referring to their argument, he tells the disciples that the way to be strong is to recognize their innate weaknesses, and the way to greatness is along the path of humility. I personally would much rather get down on my knees before the Lord in real humility than in my pride have the Lord force me to my knees. Amen? Amen? The first best step on the road to greatness is to humble yourself like a little child before the Lord. In verse 6, Jesus said, "Whoever causes one of these little ones who believe in me to sin, it would be better for him if a millstone were hung around his neck and he were drowned in the depth of the sea." Now, that's pretty strong language from Jesus. The people in our world who have set out to undermine the faith of Christians, especially young ones, will be in for a terrible day of reckoning. God takes these matters very, very seriously. People who would go out of their way to try and challenge, damage, or destroy someone's spiritual life will come into severe judgment. Jesus said it would be better for them if a millstone were tied around their neck and they were thrown into the sea. What we all need to remember is that we are being watched by young believers every day. Every time you walk into the doors of this building, our kids are watching. You have moms and dads in your home, you've got children, they're watching you. They're watching your faith walk. And when they're old enough to recognize that it's being fruitful, they will know. Paul told Timothy, "Be an example to all believers in what you say, in the way you live, in your love, your faith, and your purity," in 1 Timothy 4:12. And then in another passage, Paul says, "Follow me as I follow Christ." That's what I was saying to Dan during greeting time. I'm so proud of Dan because he is a young man who has a heart after God. And I think he's an excellent example. And I'm sorry that he's going because of so many reasons. But he started to commit to teaching in children's church, the 7 to 11s. And I was so thrilled because these young kids were getting to see not another female, okay? I'm a girl. I got nothing against girls. But it was good to see a young man who loves Jesus passionately. It was good for the children, for the short time that they had Dan, to witness that. And that's what our kids need to see, your children need to see in each of you. Whether you're a mom, but especially if you're a dad or a man. This is what every Christian should be able to say: follow me as I follow Christ. And you might think to yourself, whoa, no. I would never say that. Follow me? No way. I've messed up too many times and I've made too many mistakes. And I understand that response because I am imperfect too. There is not one of us in here who has attained perfection in our walk, in our faith walk. You and I should be living in such a way that the younger believer could look to our example and find something in us that they would want to emulate. You are all responsible. The minute you walk through the front door, the back door here, you're on duty. As soon as you walk through the door of your home, you're on duty. Follow me as I follow the Lord. Why? Because we are living as examples. We are living as examples of what it means to be a genuine follower of Christ in this day and age. You need to ponder, is your life a stepping stone or a stumbling block? Are you helping people to come to Jesus through your example, or are you driving them away? The truth is that everyone is an example. The question is, are you a good example or a not so good example? Jesus said in Matthew 18 and 8, if your hand or foot causes you to sin, cut it off and cast it from you. It is better for you to enter into life lame or maimed rather than having two hands or two feet to be cast into the everlasting fire. Okay, that's hyperbole, okay? But what Jesus is saying is, if there is anything in your life that causes you to stumble, if there is anything in your life that causes you to stumble, get rid of it. Because if it can cause you to stumble, it will undoubtedly cause someone else to stumble as well. And how do we cause other people to stumble? In Matthew 18 and 10, we read, beware that you don't look down on any of these little ones, for I tell you that in heaven their angels are always in the presence of my heavenly Father. Don't cause these little ones to stumble. Be a good example for children, for other young believers. Sometimes we take our so-called liberties and flaunt them in the face of young Christians, causing them to stumble in their faith. And Paul told us in Romans 14 and 21, it's better not to eat meat or drink wine, or to do anything else that will cause your brother to fall. I mean, it's in black and white and red. And sometimes we might say to ourselves, well, that's their problem. No, it's your problem. It's our problem, because the Bible teaches us that we don't live and die to ourselves. What we do affects other people. Being around children is a great way to stay young at heart. I don't feel my age, and I'm not telling you how old I am. But anyway, I'm nowhere near the guy who was in the Maple Leafs garden. I have a couple of decades to go to. That's amazing. You should probably be back there again this year, because this could be the year. You should have special seat in the yeah. We should get some kind of a petition going that Bob has a seat right behind the bench, and he's going to sit there for the remainder of the season. Because the last time he was there, they won. And because they're doing good this year. They are. Yeah. Yes. Okay. Let me think about that.
You see those people right there?
Yes?
They know your Aunt Maureen from North Park.
You do not. We need to connect after. Seriously?
Her niece,
oh my goodness. Oh. Wow. Oh, I've got some good stories. Really? That's amazing. What are you doing here? That's awesome. Now I'm really messed up. I have no idea where I am going. Okay, conclusion. How to stay childlike. Rewind. Okay, I'm going to lasso myself. Being around children. How did I get on the Maple Leafs thing?
I have no idea.
Age. Me. Yeah, okay. Oh, being young at heart. Yeah. I'm young at heart.
Yeah.
Yeah. Amen. That's why I love hanging with the young people on Friday nights. I come in, I sit in the sound booth, mind my own business, but I'm with them. When they need me, I'm there to pray with them and support them and love them. And then with the children's ministries, I'll be in there again because Dan is leaving, so now I have to fill in for his class. Thanks, Dan. I love you, brother. But anyways, yeah, hanging around with kids, like for the last how many years we've been in ministry, it's been amazing. That's why I missed being here on Family Fun Night, because it's really the only one night of the year I get to get dressed up in something ridiculous and act like a complete fool. And I really, really missed doing that this year because I like to stay young at heart. Oh, I just got a text. Kelly's going to take Maggie for a walk now. Okay. In the same way, okay? It's good to stay young at heart. In the same way, it's good to be around young believers too. Amen? Amen. Was anybody here a young believer at one point in their life?
Yep.
Nobody was a young, you were all born believers. Was anybody a young believer here at one point in their lives? Did you have people in your life to mentor you and encourage you and bring you along? If you didn't, shame, that's too bad. But if you did, look at where you are now. Even if you didn't, look at where you are now. I didn't. They need you. The young believers, they need you. And you need them. The young believer needs your stability. Your experience of walking with Christ through the years, and hopefully your knowledge of the Word of God. But you need them too. You need the young believer in your life as well. You need to share that sense of excitement and freshness. Just like when you were first believers. That enthusiasm and the zeal without knowledge that we all have. We need to be in the presence of that. We need to share in that excitement and freshness, what they experience as they discover the truths of God for the first time. You know what? We need each other. We need each other. That's why we call it Gateway Family. We are a family here. Amen? I need you. And you need me. And you all need each other. In his Great Commission, Jesus commanded us to go into all the world and make disciples of all nations, teaching them to observe all things that he has commanded us. Our job description as followers of Jesus is to go after lost sheep. Try to win them to Christ. Take them under our wing. And help them get up on their feet spiritually, and then go out and repeat the process over and over and over again. Yes, we all have our shortcomings, and no mature believer wants to be a stumbling block to a young believer. Amen? So, don't be. Live your life alongside young Christians. And if you mess up, tell them so and apologize. Then keep going. And when you do that, you can really say, follow me as I follow Christ. Yes. Just make sure that you are really following him.
Yes.
Amen? Amen. Just close your eyes for a moment, will you? Just sit in his presence for a minute. Hear what he has to say to you. Focus in on him. Try and see Jesus' face before you. Is there something in your life that you need to lay before him today? Keep your eyes closed, everybody. This is personal between the body and the Father. If there's something that twigged at your spirit this morning, an area about your faith, that you want your faith to be more childlike, that you want to have others follow you as you follow Christ, that you have a desire to grow and mature in the ways of the Lord, that you've not brought somebody into the kingdom of God for a very long time and you're due to invite somebody to love Jesus. You know, the possibilities are limitless as to what Holy Spirit is speaking to you this morning. If you sense the Spirit of God tweaking your heart about something, would you just put up your hand and acknowledge it before him this morning? You know what? There's no way that there's only one person in this assembly this morning who the Holy Spirit is speaking to. There is no way. Thank you. If there's something that you need to lay before the foot of the throne this morning, whatever it might be. Maybe it's got nothing to do with what we talked about this morning, but you came in with some kind of a burden. Whatever. Put your hand up. This is not for me. This is for you because you're acknowledging it before your Father, and he sees. That's all he wants to know. That you're acknowledging it and you're laying it before him. Awesome. Thank you. Father, forgive us, Lord, for those times that we walk this faith walk with such a lack of childlikeness. That we attempt sometimes to do it on our own. That we remain in the same place week after week, month after month, year after year. We never grow, we never mature, we just never. Forgive us, Lord. Father, we're just laying that down before you today. We want to be childlike in our faith. We want to be mature believers who the children in our families, in our homes, and our children here at the church, when they see us, they want to emulate us. They want to be followers of Christ the way they see us to be followers of Christ. That we will be positive influences in them. That we will get down on our knees, eye level to the kids, and speak blessings and hope and love into their lives. Father, some of us here today, we've just got something going on in our heart. You know what it is. So, Father, we bring that to your throne room this morning as well, Lord. We lay it at your feet. And Father, help us when we lay it down to leave it there, because we're awful at picking it up and carrying it off again. So, Father, help us. Help us, Lord, to be overcomers. Father, help us to have the awe and wonder, even as mature believers, Lord, to have the sense of awe and wonder of who you are, who Jesus is, and who Holy Spirit is in our lives. Help us to be thrilled every opportunity that comes our way to tell somebody about Jesus. Help us to be filled with anticipation to sit and read your word and to spend time in your presence. Give us a hunger and thirst. A hunger and thirst for righteousness. Because you tell us, Lord, that when we do hunger and thirst, we will be filled. Father, bless your people. Give us an awesome week of testifying about you. Give us an open door of opportunity to tell somebody, one person, about Jesus. Thank you, Father, for the opportunity to come in here and worship you week after week. It truly is a privilege. We love you, Lord. You're a good, good Father. We love you, Jesus. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for empowering us. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Did you feel like you had a little bit of quiet time with the Lord this morning, just there at the end? I hope so. Well, how about you send us off with King of My Heart? Is that okay? Didn't you do that this morning? Okay, what's the one with the king in it? Okay. The king is among us. That works. Let's do it. If you have to go, bless you. Have an awesome week. Love you guys.